Christmas is about a message of truth. Real joy and real hope can only be there when there's belief in solid truth. And that is the Christmas message that we have. The shepherds in Luke chapter 2 experienced something that they had never even expected. Maybe they had hopes of the Messiah coming, but not like that. Many expected the Messiah in the shepherd's time. But they expected a different way of coming, not through a baby, not through angels, not through the messengers. I want to read these two verses, Luke chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. And when they, the shepherds, had seen the child, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. For the shepherds, this definitely was a life-changing experience. And I would like to suggest, now, theologically, we may not be able to prove that, or we may argue about it theologically, but I would like to suggest when the shepherds came to worship the child, they experienced a new birth inside their hearts. Don't you believe that? I think so. They experienced something unforgettable, something so exciting. Can you imagine for a moment what the newspapers nowadays or the news outlets would write about the shepherds and their experience? And they interview one shepherd and say, "What did you see? What did you see?" "Well, I saw an angel, and he was so bright, and this and that." And so you could read the headlines in the newspapers, "Shepherds see big light." Or a headline, "Shepherds leave flock to see baby." Maybe another title would be, "Group of watchmen claim encounter with angelic hosts." That would be exciting. Maybe UFOs. I don't know, but "The story of the night" would be another headline in the news. True or false? "Report of poor men." Is it fact or fiction? Nowadays, we hear a lot about fake news. And so today it would be, "Is this fake news? Is this made up?" And we would Google Snopes and see if the shepherds had really been there, if that is really true. Is there any truth to it? Is there any proof? Well, it's only their words against what anybody else wants to believe and make up. And today, if you want exciting news, you make it up, right? You make up news. You exaggerate. And 1,000 times they exaggerate. And that's the tendency of this world, to exaggerate things, to distort things. Can you imagine the twisting and the hearsay and the doubters that would come, the editorials, that this whole thing was made up by the shepherds just to get attention, just to get some publicity, because they never got any attention. They were so forgotten. The shepherds didn't care. The shepherds knew what they had experienced. The shepherds knew that what the angel had told them, that was real. They didn't have a fantasy. They didn't just sit together and make up a story and say, "Okay, if they ask you this, then you say this." You have these bullet point lines to memorize the lines that you're supposed to say. They didn't make it up. And in reality, I would like to suggest nobody could make this up. This was the truth. They heard from the heavenly hosts. A great light shone into their darkness, into their world. And they were afraid at first. And I can imagine a news reporter sticking a microphone into one of the shepherds' face and saying, "What? How did you feel? What was going on when you saw the light? How did you react? And what thoughts ran through your mind?" And all of those things. They were fearful at the first moment. But then the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I give you great news." And we heard that last Sunday. The greatest news in a bad news world. The prophet Isaiah said already, "The Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, see, your salvation comes. His reward is with him and his recompense before him. There shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken." Why did the shepherd experience this? Because they were basically forsaken people, but God had not forsaken them. God had a message for them. "Do not be afraid. For behold, today, in the city of David," very simple message, "in the city of David, there is born to you." And the angel may have looked at each individual shepherd and says, "Yes, to you, to you, to you, to you, to everybody. A Savior is born. And great joy will come to all people." So the shepherds, they could not contain themselves. They said, "Forget about our sheep. Forget about our duties." They went to look for the child. They thought, "We have to convince ourselves, is this really true? We need proof. This message, this light is so overwhelming. This message is so demands such attention that we need to take action. We need to actually go and meet the child to prove to ourselves, but not just that, we need to experience Christmas." And that's what they did. What did they find? The angel had told him, "If you go and look for him, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." That's a sign. So look for that. Don't look in houses. Don't go to wrong addresses. Look in a stable. You'll find it. The angels kind of just gave them signs, and they had to look for directions. They met the Messiah of their lives. For the first time, grown people looked into the face of a baby that was born not of man, but of God. A virgin birth. That's what they saw. They saw a very special child that the world had never seen before. They were the first greeters of this child into this world. And they welcomed him. The baby that was born not of man, but of God. The virgin birth. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, Matthew says, it took place, verse 22, this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." So as the shepherds looked into the face of this child, they were greeted by God, the presence of God. This is God with us. God took the initiative. God gave us this gift that is for all eternity special and worth more than anything in this world. So Jesus became the embodiment of truth. Someone says, Jesus was either a lunatic or he was and is the Son of God. He cannot be a lunatic because he preached the truth and all his words were true. So he is forever the anointed Son of God, the Messiah, for all eternity. People had said to Jesus, "You have the devil," but they believed lies themselves. Anyone distorting the story of truth of Christmas believes lies of Satan, who is the father of lies. And by the way, whom Jesus came to defeat, because he came to bring truth and life for everyone. So if Jesus and the story of Christmas were only a myth, if it was only a fiction or a fable, why then was there such an outcry against him and even against his birth? King Herod felt threatened. The people did not receive him because they were confronted with the truth in their life. They were confronted with the fact, either believe in the Son of God, in this gift of salvation, or you don't. And they couldn't see themselves to come to that faith. That's why they rejected him. So the truth of the message to the shepherds was simply this. Today, in the town of David, timeless. Today is always there. It's timeless. We as believers and no sinner does ever need to go back to a historical Jesus and say, well, if I only could go back to Bethlehem, if I only could go back to Calvary. No, today, for you and me, the Savior is there. He has been born. It's done. He's there. Christ is here today. He is ready and able to make us part of his family, to keep us as part of his church, his family. And then it says a Savior has been born. This is one thing that people have a problem with. Why do I need a Savior? Why do you and I need a Savior? To save from what? To save from eternal condemnation because of sin. No sin can enter heaven. This is why Jesus came, to be salvation for us, to be our Savior. We cannot get out of our sin by sheer willpower. We cannot handle our difficulties and our challenges in life on our own. And we have to realize that in order to see the need for a Savior. I need a shelter from the storms and in the storms that life throws at me. So every person needs a Savior. And then he underlines these words. He is Christ the Lord. I love this. Christ means he is the anointed. And the Lord means he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There's no one like him. There's no one above him, okay? When we pray to Jesus, we always pray to the highest authority, who has said himself, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Because when we pray to Jesus, we also pray to the Father. He is the anointed one. I want to read some words that Max Lucado wrote He's a skilled writer, and he wrote a small booklet called He Still Moves Stones. The promise of she will have a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And here's what Max Lucado writes. The white space between Bible verses is fertile soil for questions. One can hardly read Scripture without whispering, I wonder. I wonder if Eve ever ate any fruit again. I wonder if Noah slept well during the storms. But in our wonderings, there is one question we never need to ask, and that is, does God care? Do we matter to God? Does He still love His children? Through the small face of the stable-born baby, God says, yes. Yes, your sins are forgiven. Yes, your name is written in heaven. And yes, God has entered your world, Emmanuel, God with us. Take this message home for this week. God has and wants to enter your world. Even when you sit alone and you say, well, I wonder if anybody understands me. I wonder if anybody really knows how I feel or what I'm up to. You can rely on that. God is Emmanuel with us. That is the Christmas truth. Build on that truth. Solidly anchor your faith on that truth. And may God bless you. Amen.